Welcome back to the Bun Sports Podcast. As we continue through the month of March, we are enthralled in college basketball as the Sweet 16 is now set. We'll talk about all those games. Is this championship Kentucky's to lose, or perhaps some other team is on the horizon? We'll get the professor's take on that and who he sees as a potential threat to the Cats. Spring football is also underway, and keep in mind, we will be covering spring football here at BunSports.com. We cover college football. That's what we do. And we'll be giving you updates as we progress more on that into the next several weeks into April. So stay tuned for that. But today we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament and what has gone on. Kentucky, with beatings of Hampton and Cincinnati, now finds themselves playing the West Virginia Mountaineers. And we'll start there. There's been no other story bigger, or no story bigger in this tournament than Kentucky. So my question to you is, as they prepare for this matchup against West Virginia, and then they'll win probably and have an Elite Eight matchup, what do you see as Kentucky's path and their biggest obstacle as they try to close this deal?
I think the biggest obstacle is for them just to stay focused and play their game. Jacob, if there's one area that concerns me about Kentucky, is their and that is their defensive rebound. Now, they don't have any trouble offensive rebound because those guys want that ball to put it back in the hole. But with West Virginia is a really good offensive rebounding team. But I think Kentucky will handle the game. But it'll probably be a pretty close game for a while. And remember, Jacob, West Virginia has depth just like Kentucky has depth.
Kentucky taking on West Virginia. Let's look at some of the other teams that are playing still in the NCAA tournament. We saw some teams get knocked off. I was really surprised that Villanova got knocked off. But again, they're a team that if they don't shoot well, they're not going to win, and they didn't shoot well the other night against North Carolina State. North Carolina State finds themselves playing Louisville. That's an interesting matchup. Two teams that would like to get to the Elite Eight, but neither team I don't think was a favorite coming in.
Yeah, this is not one of Rick Pitino's best teams, and it's amazing that he is still alive, though. And they really played well their last game, and I look for them to do it as well here. And the Villanova loss to North Carolina State's probably been one of the shockers of the tournament, because Villanova, I was looking at them as really being one of the top elite teams. They just came out and did not play a very good game. But, Jacob, I think the most intriguing game to me, here we are, Sweet 16, that's it. But I believe the most intriguing game is when North Carolina lines up against Wisconsin. Both of these teams are really big, good, strong, athletic. It's going to be quite a game, I think.
Yeah, it will be, and I would be remiss if I didn't take the golden opportunity you just presented me by saying the word shocker and transition that into a conversation about this game between the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and the Shockers of Wichita State. We'll talk about the game first and then some potential subplots afterward. But Notre Dame, I think that of all the teams in the Midwest bracket, I pegged them as my team to compete with Kentucky the best, if anybody would do it. Now, I really don't think they will, but they play Wichita State. Do you think Notre Dame wins this game, or does Wichita State pull it out?
If I had to lean toward one, I would probably lean toward Notre Dame. But this game, the thing is, this game will come down to the fact that Notre Dame, they can really shoot the ball. They're one of the best shooting teams that's in the tournament. But what is Wichita State's strength? Defense. So that's going to be the question. Can they keep them from getting good shots? And if they do, I'm telling you, Wichita State, they really know how to grind it out.
We haven't talked much about it, but Alabama fired head coach Anthony Grant last week. Anthony Grant, after 6 years in Tuscaloosa, just was not getting the job done. And now the Crimson Tide's coaching search has taken a pretty straightforward approach. It seems that Bill Battle and the Alabama administration is going after one candidate and one candidate only to start with, and that is Greg Marshall, the head coach of the Wichita State. We just talked about Wichita State. Assuming they do lose this game, do you think Alabama has a chance of landing, Wichita State losing against Notre Dame, do you think Alabama has a chance of landing Greg Marshall? And where do you see that right now?
If I were to you know, I think it's a better than average that they will get him. And I'll tell you why. First of all, everybody says that he is happy at Wichita State. He is. That he has won, proven he can win at Wichita State. He has done that. He has won at a high level. Here he is in the Sweet 16. He's been in the Final Four. He's really done quite well. and he's the big man on campus. He's got everything going the way he wants it. But Jacob, there's something that's out there on the horizon. That is that some of the Power Five conference teams have resources. No matter how much resources that Wichita State has, these Power Five conference teams have resources that are beyond what these teams have. And I think that coaches like Greg Marshall will begin to line themselves up so that they're part of the. Of this Power Five conference, as these resources begin to bear weight on the programs.
He has a tremendous record. He's 194-83 at Winthrop. That was his first destination, and he's 204-75. 204-75. That's a 73% winning percentage at Wichita State. He's been to the NCAA tournament 12 times, as you mentioned, and NCAA Final Four 2 years ago. So the guy has done incredible things at both destinations he's been at. This would be a major get, I think, for Alabama if they were able to land him. It would be probably the best basketball hire that school has made in a long, long time. Now, would he be able to have success at Alabama? You would think so. You never know. But Greg Marshall, certainly a great head coach. Another thought of good head coach in the world of college football. He's been to his own his Final Four a few times himself, and that is Ben Howland, the former head coach at UCLA, and now he's been hired at Mississippi State. Of course, he had a hiatus after there was kind of a falling out when he resigned from the Bruins program several years ago. But this man has a lot of NCAA success under his belt, and here he comes to Mississippi State.
Well, Mississippi State did quite well in getting him as their coach. And you got to remember that Howland, he plays that tough, nose-to-nose, hard-nosed defense. That's his signature. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the Southeastern Conference. In my way of thinking, the Southeastern Conference is a rising conference. There are many teams that are just getting better and better.
I would agree with that completely. All right, so let's play a little hypothetical game here. I'm going to throw something out at you from left field. Bruce Pearl's at Auburn. Ben Howland's at Mississippi State. Let's just assume, for the sake of an argument, that Greg Marshall comes to Alabama. Who has the most success the fastest?
Well, I think it'll be Greg Marshall. But Bruce Pearl's got a year up on him.
Yes, he does. And, on both of them.
That's correct. And I think it's going to be harder at Mississippi State. But, you know, here again, these coaches make a big difference in the way the teams play. And we'll just see. I'm not sure that all three of those will be. It'll be quite something to watch.
Let's shift gears now, and let's talk about Tom Izzo. This guy has continually getting to the tournament and making runs, and of course we know the amount of success that he has had as the head coach at Michigan State. Just an unbelievable record. If you go back through his resume here, and I'm just looking at it, he was NCAA champions back in 1999. But he's been to the Final Four a number of times, the Elite Eight, and he's been. And if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong on this, so I want to be careful quoting this, but I believe that Michigan State has a record right now of the number of NCAA tournaments they've been to in a row. I think they've been to about 15 or 16 in a row now, and that's some kind of record. But just talk about that as they get ready to play Oklahoma and another chance to get to an Elite Eight for Tom Izzo.
Well, you just have to sit there and say Tom Izzo is quite a basketball coach. And you can see with his team how coaching makes a huge difference. And, Jacob, if you looked at the whole tournament as the tournament as a whole, what do you see? You see a lot of the really outstanding coaches. That's who are here. Coach K, Roy Williams, Coach Cal, Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. And then you got a couple of outstanding coaches that are kind of under the radar, like Bo Ryan and Lon Cougar. So the really outstanding coaches are here. And then you got the up and comers. You got Miller at Arizona, and you got Marshall at Wichita State. The top coaches are here, and the top programs are here: Kentucky and North Carolina. I mean, you'd begin to think about the fact that Duke and UCLA, Michigan State, Louisville. It's amazing, isn't it? These top programs and top coaches keep arriving.
If anybody says basketball isn't about coaching, they really aren't paying attention. I'm talking about college basketball. It is about coaching. It takes a good coach, really, to get your team to that next level. You can have great athletes, and this is why I really resent a lot of the criticism that John Calipari has gotten. And I want to just say this right now. I know the U.S. Basketball Writers Association, of which I'm a part, voted the other day to give the Coach of the Year award to someone other than John Calipari. And I know that there are other coaches that are deserving in this country that have done great jobs. But Calipari deserves it, not just for what he does on the court during the season and not just what he does on game day, but he also deserves it for pulling in these five-star recruits. Billy Gillespie was the coach at Kentucky before John Calipari, and they didn't get these recruits. Calipari's there now, and they're getting him. You have to give him credit for that. Yes, of course, it's a lot easier to win when you have, you know, like Nick Saban, it's a lot easier to win when you have those top players, but coaching is a lot of it, and bringing in those players, getting them to buy into the system and lay down their ego is a huge part of it.
You're correct, Jacob, and we can see that. And, Jacob, we talk about these coaches at the mid-major levels. If you want to think about that, we got a couple of the guys, here is Few and Marshall. They're there, and they've shown they are really good coaches.
And it was Virginia's Tony Bennett who was named. Name slipped my mind a minute ago, but who was named the USWBA Coach of the Year. And, by the way, I like Tony Bennett. He's done a fantastic job at Virginia. But my vote would go with John Calipari.
Right. Well, Jacob, we just buckle your seatbelts. We've got some great games here. Jacob, one thing very quickly. It looks to me like, if you really look at it, that Wisconsin got the hardest road to the Final Four. And then there's one bracket that doesn't have a number one or two, number two seed left. So it's interesting.
It's
matchups has a lot to do with who's going to win this thing.
It does. So right now, here today, who would you pick as your Final Four? I know we did this before the tournament started, but as we reset here, we have 16 teams left. I'm sure you're going with Kentucky out of the Midwest. Who do you go in the next region down on the West?
Well, I'm just going to have to stick with Wisconsin until somebody beats them. And then I right now it looks like Arizona is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about the other, maybe Gonzaga.
Well, and yes, right. And, yeah, I would agree with you. And I think I would put personally I think Duke would come out of that bottom region. And I think, I really think Michigan State, and I know they're a 7 seed and this is going on a little bit on a limb, but I think Michigan State can get there. I think Duke, Michigan State. And then, of course, I like Kentucky, and I like Arizona. I agree with you. I think Arizona is a quality team coming out of the West region. Well, we will continue to follow it here at BunSports.com. Next week, we will probably be talking about who's matching up for the Final Four and also some spring football. I promise that. We'll get to that in the next couple weeks as the month of April gets rolling. We'll know about the quarterback battle at Alabama, the quarterback battle at Auburn, and several other SEC schools. So we'll talk about it all here at BunSports.com, but we've rolled through another month. It's March, and we're now another month closer to the 2015 college football season. For the professor, I'm Jacob Bunn. We'll see you next time.